It's good to be reporting to a large group as I am this morning. And I hope the heat's not on. I'm hoping I'm going to heat you up. With the Word of God, I hope I'm going to get your mats hot. And you won't need any heater effects to being here this morning. A joy and a privilege. I have wanted for many years to be at Palm Beach Lakes on Mission Sunday. Not because of who I am, what I am, but because I just felt like it would be a great opportunity. But it seemed like I was always overseas during the time of your Mission Sunday. So this is a special treat for me. It's a special treat to be here this morning. As I begin a presentation, I'm always reminded of when Paul and Barnabas returned from that first missionary journey, and the church assembled together, and they rehearsed or they reported on the Lord all that the Lord had done. Will you keep that in mind for me? And everything that I say today, you must realize that I give God all the honor and the glory and the praise. I am only a servant, 1 Corinthians 3 and 5. I am only a servant by which others believe. And I am very thankful to God for younger missionaries who are a lot more talented and a lot better than I'll ever be. I'm so thankful for them, especially those that have never got a degree in missiology except from the School of Jesus Christ. I'm thankful to God for that. COVID-19 has not only affected the United States, but it has really affected countries where we go. Dan McLeod and I went on a trip last year, and they changed on us in flight what was expected when we arrived. There are travel restrictions that I do not enjoy, and there are documents that must be filled out before you enter many foreign countries or U.S. territories in the Pacific. And I've had that swab up my nose so many times, swabbing before you leave, swabbing when you get there, swabbing after 5 days, and I've done been swabbed all over. I know my membranes must be enlarged drastically by all the swabbing that has gone on. But it is a part of the work. Now, Dan and I, last year in Saipan, we had to be quarantined at the government facility. It wasn't good. I jogged every day in the room that is no bigger than some people's bathroom. I have to think of the right word when I'm back here in the bathroom. But this last time when I had Brother Stacy and Nathaniel with me, we got to go straight to the apartment. Boy, that was great. I mean, here we are in an apartment, and we're still confined somewhat. But there are things that we can do every day. You know, you can either grumble and complain. Doesn't Paul talk about murmuring in Philippians, 2? Yes. And I said to myself, and I said to Dan and others that have been with me since this all started, we can either murmur and go to hell over it. Brethren, murmuring is a sin. Can't play no game with God. If you repent, you better stop it. And so, you can either murmur, but you know what helped me? Paul in house arrest for 2 years. He did a lot of good. And I found out there's so many things you can do. So there's a lot of restriction as we travel. One thing that we have done that has not changed in 49 and will be August the 31st, 50 years, because it has not affected our work in a negative way. Really, it is biblical. It is the book of Acts. One of the things that we do in working with brethren in foreign countries and sowing the seed and planting the church is that we use these three T's. What we do is we're going to teach them, and we're going to train them, and we're going to trust them. I said three, can't even count. And then we're going to turn them loose. Brethren, we need to remember that. Sometimes we are not doing all that we can do to evangelize the world because we want to be like a mom and daddy to them for the rest of their lives. We want to baby them and pamper them and have a bottle in their mouth until they're 50 years old or more. That wouldn't be normal, would it? And so we decided many years ago, I said to Mary one day, what we need to do is teach them and train them and trust them and turn them loose. John D. Davis, that is not Auburn counting. That's some other counting, I promise you. But nevertheless, we're thankful to God. Our goal has always been, it's always been, this has not changed. One of the things that has not changed. Our goal has always been to go and make disciples. I'll talk a little bit about that in our sermon this morning. You know, we need to know that we're to go to every nation. Really, that literally means every tribe, every tongue, and every person. We need to go with the gospel as we are going, Acts chapter 8 and verse 4. And our means of accomplishing this is the three E's. It's not changed in 50 years. We learned that 50 years ago that it worked, and it worked very effectively in Fiji. And we duplicated that over and over again to evangelize, to edify, and to equip the saints. This is not just something that I made up 50 years ago, but it's something that's really biblical, right? Acts 14, verse 23 following. We see three E's in those verses. To evangelize, to edify, and to equip. You know, long time ago, I just fell in love with the rural village atmosphere. I just really fell in love with it. We're still going to the cities, the towns, the metropolitan areas. Don't we find that's what Paul did in the book of Acts? He went to those urban centers, and then from there, the gospel would spread. I mean, you've got opportunities in those urban centers. Some don't have much of an urban center to it. But nevertheless, we go there. But we also go to the villages, and here's where I love. And I am Robert better here than anywhere else. And I thank God for the opportunity. Here we were carrying the gospel, ended up planting the church in Temoreki on the island of Tarawa, the country of Kiribati. Olden days called the Gilbert Islands when we first moved out to the Pacific. And there is a vibrant congregation here. They still meet in that facility because I'm not going to build their buildings for them. Many years ago, we said, we'll help. And I worked up a document. And the document was that if you're willing to do something, it may be $100, it may be $500, it may be $25,000, according to the congregation and the location. And I got the brethren to sign it. Boy, you think I didn't hold that over their heads? If they ever wanted to back up on me, I said, well, wait a minute, we've got a document here. The Lord recognizes this document. And you've committed to it. You've come into an agreement. And we're going to move. You know, I never had that to happen, though. Thank God for that. And so we thank God for the villages. There are some things, again, that have never changed. What has worked now? It hasn't changed the basics, but the appearance has changed. We've gone from black and white to color in everything. You lay the black and white down, and you lay the color down, and islanders are like anybody else. They'll pick up the color and overlook the black and white anymore. So we've gone to color in a lot of things. Our track packets, they're very effective. You put us into a small town even, and you give me five or six people, we can give out 800 tract packets in about 3 or 4 days. That's a lot. And in those tract packets will be many tracts and an opportunity to take a Bible correspondent course, and also offering people the opportunity to study the Bible. You know, it always, if we sow the seed, we plant, God will give the increase. But you can't take away. I'm glad the church is not dead here, and I do hear an amen or a grunt sometimes. I don't mind a grunt. I can hear the grunt. Fijians grunt. They don't always say amen, but they'll say, in their prayer. I said, what kind of tongue is that? But one of the things also that never changed is evangelism always must have those foot soldiers. Am I right? I mean, you know, what would the gospel be without those who will go and teach? Can be one, can be a half a dozen, can be. We usually don't try to exceed 20 or 21. No magic number, but we try not to exceed that. Brethren, I love the Word of God. I love it. I mean, it is the power of God to salvation. And I believe that with all my heart. And I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not going to be arrogant, belligerent about it. I'm going to speak the truth in love, Ephesians 4:15. And I think we miss the boat if we don't do that. But, you know, it's amazing. It's amazing. Mary always tells me, don't tell no beloved, don't yum yum and go on so long. I said, don't speak to me in tongues, Mary. What are you talking about? She said, don't start a story and make it go on and on forever. And I understand. You know how this congregation got started? Here's how it was. I sowed the seed. Mary and I, we would have people to come from other countries. Vanuatu, Samoa, Tonga, wherever in the Pacific. We'd have them to come to Fiji. And many of them would come at an invitation or just come from knowing or hearing about the church in Suva, the capital. And we would always carry them home, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Mary always prepared lunch. We did together. I always loved those times. And we get up early Sunday morning, prepare a lunch, and we knew we were going to have people. Listen to me carefully. One of the things that Word of God don't have, it don't have to have a passport. It don't have to have a visa or a work permit. I'm telling you, it don't have to have a plane ticket. It's amazing to me. So we would give everyone that went home that Sunday with us, we would give them a tract packet and attempt to enroll them in the Bible correspondent courses. Well, one Sunday, one of the people from Vanuatu took the tract packet, enrolled in the Bible correspondent course, went back to Vanuatu when his training was up in Fiji. He laid it on a coffee table in his sitting room, and Paul Vuhu picked it up. And he started reading it, visiting this friend of his. They were school teachers together. And so Paul said, can I take this with me? I want to read this more. Yeah, but you better bring it back. Paul never brought it back. He had to repent of that, though. And nevertheless, he took it with him, and he began to read it. He had to go to Papua New Guinea to receive more training as a school teacher. When he got there, he asked one of the Papua New Guineans, do you know where the Church of Christ is? I have a tract here. Have you ever heard of the Church of Christ? He said, I've read it, and I'm believing what it's saying. It's biblical. And so he said, yeah, the Papua New Guinea said, yeah, so I'll carry you on Sunday. I'll go with you, you and Miriam, Paul's wife. So they went. He said to the Kevalangi, what is it, the European man that was preaching that Sunday, he said to him, I've got a tract here. Have you ever heard of the Church of Christ? Everybody in the islands thinks that every white man knows each other. And so he said to him, do you know this man, Robert Martin? He said, yes, I've been to the workshop over in Fiji. And so he said, would you like to study? He said, no, I'm just asking questions right now. Well, ask all the questions you'd like to. So Paul had to go back to Vanuatu. And he went back, and a different government came in power. Be patient with me. I'll finish this sooner or later. So he went back to Vanuatu, different governments in power, and they fired all the school teachers that didn't vote for that political party. Fired every one of them. These foreign countries. Be thankful you live where you have a little bit more freedom and opportunity. And so Paul said to Miriam, Miriam, we'll just go back to our homeland on the outer island of Ambai and Vanuatu. And we'll go to Ambai and we'll just start planting and maybe something will happen in the future. He went back and he found this man, denominational preacher, and he said, I want you to baptize me in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I want you to know the Lord's going to add me to His church and I'm not coming where you preach. He said, I'll baptize you. He did. Then Paul turned around and baptized about 10 or 12 others, teaching them. And that was before I ever set foot on Ambai, Vanuatu. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that really amazing? So we don't need to underestimate the power of the written word and what it can do. One of the other works that we're very heavily involved in is the distribution of Bible materials. Bible materials. And the reason is the brethren do not have the availability of getting good biblical Bible materials. And we can help in that area. Through the years, we have logged it. We have printed it. Now we have our digital color print, multicolor printer, and we can roll them out. And we thank God for that. Songbooks, tracts, Bible correspondent courses, Bible study books, soul winning guides or books, evangelism, edification, and equipping, and books that they can use in their Bible study on Sunday morning. Now, every year, you know, we think we're the only one that lives on this earth, and we're the only one that have disaster. We don't know. You've heard about Tonga, haven't you? It's not good right now. I can't even talk to the brethren there. I got on the phone, or got on the sending a text to Dan McLeod. He said, Robert, forget it. I've researched it. I've got Tony, a man that's worked with me, to research it. It may be weeks or months before telephone communication. Now, governments have a different way to do it. You know what they discovered? We can beam it off that satellite and beam it down and talk to the government in Fiji. I mean, in Tonga. Well, everybody can't do that, and they don't do it. And so they're still not up and running. Oh, yes, we have hurricanes, typhoons. We have volcanoes going off. This one is in Ambai. And they had to evacuate all. No, I better retract that. Some wouldn't go. Some of the old people wouldn't go. Volcanoes, earthquakes, hurricanes, typhoons. And so we always have opportunity to show the love of Jesus. We always work with the local brethren. And first thing we're going to say is, we're going to say first, what can you do? And they'll tell us. And then we'll work together with them getting it accomplished if they need our help. Well, our mission has always been to establish, to plant, and I like that word better, plant indigenous churches. That concept, we started it from the very beginning 50 years ago. We have not deviated from that. Now, do we alter it some? Yes, we do. I would not be telling the whole truth and nothing but the truth if I didn't tell you that. We do alter it, but not to the point that we will destroy or weaken greatly the indigenous method. We believe in it. And the top two slides is Congregation Saipan started in our living room. It really started off in our living room. We outgrew that in about 2 months. And then the bottom two slides, one of the congregations in Fiji, Del Dumanu, they're the first congregation that had elders. They have had four elders, then one of those passed away. They've appointed another elder. They're back up to full strength at four elders. and deacons, and about 6 or 8 men that can preach the Word of God. And so these brethren, they are able to reproduce themselves, govern themselves, and support themselves, brethren. And they're able also to help other congregations as well. Now, 26 years ago, we started something. And if you were to ask, I don't know what happened. I lost it, brothers. I just laid the control down and something else took control. We're gone for good. No, we're not gone for good. Surely these men can get us back up. I'm afraid to mash something up here. Should I? Wait 1 minute. We're ticking, brothers. But let me just say that God, if we can get back up, I can think where I am. You ever get to that point? 26 years ago, we decided to start. But I had already been praying about it. Thank you, brothers. You saved my life. And I woke Mary up. We were living in Saipan, the northern man. And I woke Mary up 2 o'clock in the morning. I said, "Sweetheart, get up. You remember your shorthand?" "Yes, I do." "Let's go to the living room. I'll get the coffee ready." And first thing she wanted to know was the house on fire. Second thing, you owe me on this deal. And so I said, "I'm going to talk and you just write. Then you can translate for me later from shorthand." She's one of those that still knows her shorthand. And so she started. Number one, we didn't want to start anything that would limit what we can do. That makes sense? You're just putting a limit on something if you can do it otherwise. And you can. You just got to think and pray and look. And the second thing, we did not want to take anything away from the indigenous approach of the work we had used already for many years. Already nearly 25 years of it. So we didn't want to do that. So what we did, we said we will set it up so that we'll be able to carry the instructors and the courses to every island country that can host it, and we'll have PIBC classes. Right now we're in 21 locations. Is that 21? I can't see it. 28. Thank you, Dan. I need that translation. You can see up here. It's big enough. Okay, thank you. 28 locations. Now, brethren, one thing happened when finally about 5 years ago, no, maybe 4, we decided to go on the internet with a website. Mary said, "Do you know what you're doing? You're going to open a can of worms, Robert. And are we ready?" I said, "We're ready. I've been putting it off for 2 or 3 years. We now have 8 countries of the world. People in 8 countries of the world that are taking the PIBC classes. And that's going to continue to increase. We have nearly, and probably, I should update this, we probably have right at 3,000 PIBC students. The big majority of those are in the Pacific Islands. We usually use about 15 instructors. We're always needing more instructors. We teach all the books of the Bible, Genesis to Revelation. We teach other classes such as hermeneutics. We teach Christian leadership, developing of elders and deacons, and many other courses that are church-related as well. Now, we offer, and there I hit it again, brothers. I don't know what in the world I'm doing with this thing. I'll tell you, I done hit it again or laid it down again. I'm not laying it down if I can think of it one more time. And we've got to come back where I can see where I'm at, what I'm talking about. We back up now. Okay, we offer 27 courses on our PIBC website. You can go to it. It's PIBC Church of Christ, all lowercase, PIBC Church of Christ. com, PIBC Church of Christ. com. Now, here's what the brethren recently said to me, just not many months ago. "Robert, do you realize that when you and Mary started Pacific Island Bible College, you impacted many souls in the Pacific?" Well, think about it. Nearly 3,000 souls We are going to impact one way or the other, one time or the other. Think about it. You saw the number of students. Right at 3,000 the day of Pentecost. And these are Christians. Now, this is some of our PIBC classes. The top two, and then the bottom two are two different classes. So that's good variation of sizes of our classes. Now, I will tell you this. I didn't put the biggest class because it's only in one location. And it runs about 75 or 80 students that we can teach in the classroom. Brethren are able to take courses either online. We've gone all the way from the old, remember the old videos? You put in a video player and they get hung up. I hate to do video players. They always give you a headache. They went from that to DVD. Now we can put all of the courses on a flash drive. Can you imagine how that's brought down the cost of it? In getting these courses to the students. Now, God really blesses us, and we appreciate you folks sending Dan McLeod. Dan is only listening this morning. Dan, he is a man that I love dearly, and I love him so much. He's easy to work with, and I try not to agitate him too much. But sometimes I just need to do it just for the fun sake of it. But Dan is just a wonderful boy. He has just grown and developed as a Bible school teacher for Pacific Islands Bible College. He loves people, and that goes a long way. Am I right? You can speak the truth, but if you don't love people, you won't have an impact on people's hearts. We have many other, like I said, we usually have 12, 15 instructors that we use. And we have people that are receiving their... I love the brethren, and I love their attitude. I said, brethren, some of you ought to be taking more of the courses online. Brother Robert, we can't afford to get online and stay online for an hour and a half for each session of every course, 15 lessons. We can't do it. Can't afford it. Brethren, don't give me that. Haven't I told you you can also have it? Also, by the flash drive, we can send you every course on the flash drive. And we can send the textbooks to you. They'll be there in 5 or 6, 7 days. So don't give me no excuses. They're like many of us. You know, it's hard to take courses in a university when you're doing everything online, isn't it? You can be too lax. You can put it off. And really not do what you need to be doing. But every year we have those students that are receiving their diploma. And one of the men, and this is a lovely story within itself. In Malawi, Africa, we just had our first student to receive his diploma. You know what he did? He went online, saw that it didn't cost anything. He's a member of the Church of Christ. He is a high school headmaster. What do we call him here? Principal. Thank you, Dan. Principal. And so he said, I can't go, I can't just quit. I've got already 25, 30 years in being a principal, and I'm going to get a retirement from the government. Brother Robert, I can't stop and go to a Bible college here in Malawi, Africa. I love your system, the way you do it. He just received his diploma. And he said, you know, Brother Robert, I owe it to PIBC. I now feel more comfortable as a soul winner. I want to become an elder or deacon. I've already been preaching, but I feel more confident now in preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. One of the things that PIBC has changed the face of the church in the Pacific is elders. And elders and deacons being appointed. Not only that, but I love this one. I got to stop here. Okay, got to stop here. I love this. Because both of these men that one is standing, one is sitting. Brother Salimu is sitting. Brother Omega Malia is standing. I love it because God just put Mary and I in the right place at the right time. We were able to teach them the gospel of Christ. They obeyed many years ago. Both of these men are elders in the church at Nu'uli in American Samoa. Yes, okay. And they are growing. Now, the reason I love this is because Brother Salimu is teaching and Brother Omega's translating in English, because younger generation are changing their lives. Also, men that are Bible teachers. So this is something PIBC is turning out. Radio speakers and those that are soul winners. Brethren, what it does, if you're having studies in the Bible and you're really dedicating yourselves to it, you are going to increase in your knowledge that gives you more confidence in doing it. And then the know-how. We have a course that we've just developed, written, developed, and it's been filmed called The How to Soul Winning. And sometimes those things are important. What am I going to say about this sweetheart? Wow. Man, my love for her has grown through the years. Started when we were in high school 60 years ago. And then when she became my permanent sweetheart 59 years ago, this lady never complains. It doesn't matter what we face in life, death in our family, sickness in our family. And just a couple of weeks ago, I had a new project I needed to work on, and she said, "Don't touch it." I said, "What do you mean, don't touch it?" She said, "You give it to me, I'll take care of it." I love it. And she just always saying, "What can I do?" And you know the restrictions that we have. Maria's not well, and she's gotten worse and worse, both mentally and physically. But she never says, "Woe unto me." And she never says, "I can't do something for the Lord." You know, if we're looking, we're going to find things we can do for the Lord. Now, our work really never ends, because we're always training more workers in the kingdom of God, men that will become elders and deacons and Bible school teachers and soul winners and preachers. We thank God that we can do this for the Lord. I want to thank all of you for being workers together with us in the kingdom of God. We know that you're always by our side. You have us in your love and in our care and in your prayers on a continual basis. Do it more than ever, especially your prayers. We want to thank you for that. If you're here this morning and do not receive our newsletter, can I ask you to do something? Give to maybe June. She's going to stay around, maybe spend the day here and eat here. I don't know. But June's still June. I'm thankful to God for that. Give her your name and address with a zip code, and she'll pass it on to maybe Dan or David. They'll pass it to me. We'll do a process here. It's a complicated process. But nevertheless, get it to one of these at least, and then they'll give it to me. We'll put you on the newsletter. Somebody says, "Send it digital." No, I'm not going to do it. That's another work. I don't want to get into that. Because if I do it that way, you got a sticky nose in the computer, and that's too much trouble, right? You won't do it as well. Or you got to print it out, and why not let us just put it in your hands already printed out so that you can read it in the convenience of your home. It's a joy and a privilege to be with you today. I know we do not have a mic, but this is a Bible class hour, and do I have a time for one question maybe?
6 minutes.
6 minutes. Oh boy, that's good. Dan's up here giving me signals, and I appreciate that. Signaling people, I tell you. But nevertheless, does anyone have a question about the work we do, Dan?
Use the word indigenous several times.
Yes.
There may be several here who do not understand what that means.
Oh, these people in Palm Beach Lakes are smarter than anything. They all know what it means. All it means is that we inject that thought in the very beginning, you're going to grow up and take care of yourself. You're going to be able to reproduce yourself, govern yourselves, and support yourselves. And I usually put it in that article. That's pretty much the way it is. In other words, they can stand on their own. They don't need Americans. Think about that congregation in Vanuatu. When I set foot there, there's already 25, 30 Christians. Now it's grown, and they've outgrown their building, and they've built another building, And the volcano destroyed that one, and they built another one. And they never did say, gimme, gimme, gimme. I'm thankful to God for that. Sorry, but I love bread. My father said when I went away to university, he said, don't always, I think I heard that, bail. All right, 5 minutes, 1 minute, something. But anyway, that's what it means, Dan, 5 minutes. And you know what I'm talking about, the indigenous. Some plants are indigenous to certain locations of the world. Forget bananas being indigenous to Atlanta, Georgia. They'll freeze to death, and they'll never mature. Any other questions? If I don't know the answer, I'll call Mary. I'll get the phone out, the mobile, and we'll call Mary and ask her. She'll know. Any other questions? Yes, thank you. In Fiji, and Dan asked me that last night, because Dan has heard the brethren say, Robert's a Kaiviti, and that means a Fijian. And I didn't tell them to say that, Dan. You and Judy were with me a few years ago there. But I can teach in Fijian. But I can't, just give me 4 or 5 days back there and get in tune with the lingo. I can teach, but I can't preach in it because I can't think fast enough. Because I want to cut loose and preach the word. I just can't do it. It's too hard. And one of the things that we found, you know, when we've carried the gospel into the capital area of any country, we always found bilingual people. Isn't that amazing? What about in Jerusalem, the day of Pentecost? They were people of all nations and tribes and tongues. Yes, yes. And we found that to be true. And everybody likes it in their own language. They love it in their own language. But I will say this. Sometime Mary and I will say something in Fijian, in Fiji, and the younger generation said, we don't know that. Because English has come to the forefront in every respect. And Fiji is not the only place. Samoa, Tonga, Vanuatu, Solomon Islands, Marshall Islands, Fijian is spoken at home, and then it's broken Fijian. It's not really the pure Fijian. So we love that. I love doing it. But it takes me 4 or 5 days to get back in tune, and then I'm okay with it. I think I'm going to stop here. Will you bow your heads with me, and we'll close with a prayer. Father God, we truly thank you and we give you all the honor and glory and praise. And Father God, we're so thankful that we can be servants in your kingdom, servants by which others believe. Help us to have the servant mentality. Help us to have the missionary heart of Jesus always with that servant spirit. Be with all the younger missionaries that are coming up. We pray that you would help them to grow and develop and that they will gain much from being with older missionaries that have served for many years on the field. Pray, Heavenly Father, that on this day, that's a special day here at Palm Beach Lakes, you would be with every member to give their heart, to give their soul. And we know if they do that, Father God, that they'll give their money for this Mission Sunday. Help those that are sick and streaming. Help them to be very supportive. Help them to have that same heart. Forgive us of our sins and shortcomings. Thank you for our elders here at Palm Beach Lakes. In Jesus' name we pray and amen.